Thank you, Jesus. Many years ago, when I was 17 years old, the Lord spoke to me, told me he was going to give me a family, he was going to give me a wife. And right after that word, of course, I got encouraged, I got excited, I got motivated. And a few months later, I fall off a 45-foot bridge. And I say this to say that whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing in life right now, whatever is making you hurt, whatever tragedy you're going through, whatever pain you're suffering, whatever it is, trust that tomorrow you're going to thank God for it. You're going to thank God for it. If it wasn't for that accident, I would never have my family today. At that moment, I saw it like it was never going to come to pass. God promised me a family, I'm going to die. And little did I know that God had to allow that to happen so I can be still. For I can understand that he is God. Sometimes we're going 1,000 miles per hour and God needs to slow us down. Sometimes he needs to rattle the cage for us to understand that he is God and not us. He needs to slow us down at times. And when I hear a song like that, it is simply reminding us of his goodness. It is simply reminding us of who he is in our lives, or who he says he is. He is all in your life. And he wants you to put him first. He wants you to acknowledge his presence. He doesn't want you to focus on your circumstance. He doesn't want you to focus on the situation you're dealing with. He wants you to focus in him. In him, not the circumstance. If you could look back and say, man, I could have done away with the worry, with the concerns. I could have done away with it because I'm here today. I'm still here. And if we could look back, if we could just look back, we would realize the fact that we could have done away with worry and concerns. That God had our back from the very beginning. That he was with us from the very beginning. He is a way maker. When my father-in-law was dying in the hospital with kidney failures, he told me, why do you weep like those who have no hope? Why? The very next day, he healed my father-in-law. When we were weeping and crying because my mother-in-law had cancer on one of her breasts, the day of the surgery, I remember crying out to the Lord in the house right here in the back, saying, Lord, even now I know you're able to heal. Even now I know you're able to do a miracle. And I get a phone call 45 minutes later that they found the cancer on the side and they didn't need to amputate her breast. I mean, give me a break. God is real. He is real. They didn't have to remove her breasts. Three weeks ago, I had an invitation to preach a four-day revival service in a Baptist church in Umatilla for 4 days, 2 Sundays all the way to Wednesday. The pastor of the church, 4 days before the event, he had an accident in the school. He messed up his right knee. The doctors told him he was going to be with a brace at least for 3 to 4 months because the swelling was really bad and they needed the swelling to go down to see what else is damaged in there. On the second day that we're preaching about how prayer is essential to revival. Without prayer, you cannot have revival. You cannot have revival disconnected from God. Prayer is communication with God. You need to communicate with God. He's the one that talks to you. He's the one that leads you. If you're not in communication, there cannot be no revival. So as we preach the word of God, I stopped what I was doing. And let me tell you something. This church, I was invited to this church because the pastor said, I want this church to get ignited. They don't even raise their hands. They don't even clap. They don't praise the Lord out loud. They don't do anything. I want that to change. So when you go in there, you see the atmosphere is completely different from what, that which you know. It's completely different. So we're praying. We're preaching the word. And at that moment, I say, even right now, you see your pastor, he just had an injury 4 days ago. The doctor said 3 to 4 months he's going to be with that brace and the crutches. But if you believe that God answers prayers, then stand our hands right now. We had them all extend their hands, something that they were not accustomed to. And I say, our job is to believe God. If God does the miracle, amen. If he doesn't, that's his choice. But my job as a believer is to believe God, believe his word, believe that he answers prayers. So right now, we're going to pray in faith that God is going to do the miracle. And if he does it, amen. If he doesn't, we believe that it will be something that he's just going to put his hand on. We prayed. Everybody extended their hands. Everybody was excited. Well, the very next day, the pastor comes to the church walking. He could not even put his foot down before. The very next day, he comes walking, and he's walking like this. He says to me, Miguel, I got up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. And I didn't realize I was walking until I was in the bathroom. By the Wednesday night, he was walking normal. He testified in his job that God did a miracle. That's the God we serve. The God that we serve is real. And the problem with us church people is that we really don't believe what we preach. We don't. We don't. Today I was in Tampa. I had the privilege to meet in a meeting with a whole bunch of strong Bible teachers, pastors. I got invited to this event. And one of the things the minister there was speaking about was, we need something that's going to revolutionize this world. As believers, we need a tool that's going to change things around. We need to be bold for Christ. We need to go out there and get the souls. We need to be mobilized. And he's talking about all these things that Tap Me If You Need Prayer Ministries is already doing. And I'm listening to this guy. I said, Lord, I drove an hour and a half to be here. I need to talk. Because I don't want to be here just to waste my time and listening to things that we already heard so many times. I need to talk. I need to say something. And the opportunity came. Anybody here has any ideas? I raised my hand. They didn't see me, for this other guy on the side saw me. He said, put me there. And when the other person was speaking, I say, I got something. And I told him how God gave me an idea 2.5 years ago. Because I was obedient and prayed for someone. I didn't get into all the details because I knew you had to be wise and not consume all the time. So in 3 minutes, I explained something that normally would take me 45 minutes to explain. I said, I was walking in the park. The Lord highlighted somebody for me. I pray for that person. After I pray, the Lord gives me a vision. I see me wearing a black shirt that says, Tap Me If You Need Prayer. Everybody got, wow. Everybody got excited. I started speaking. People were clapping. People were excited. And from everybody that spoke, they were more excited about what I had to say. So I said, man, God is up to something here. So after everything's done, you're supposed to mingle and talk to people? And you would think with the excitement that they showed, that everybody was going to line up to talk to you and to know, hey, how can I get this shirt so I can mobilize my people? No, we didn't get that. We got around 3 people that came and were extremely excited. You see, sometimes we say certain things because God is putting it in our hearts. He really is. And we get excited and we start talking a good game. But when it is presented before you, why don't you take it? Why don't you do something with it? You know what I've heard here locally? Some churches say to me, well, let's see how it goes. And if it has a great outcome, we'll join the next year. You missed the mark. You missed the mark. We need to know who we're serving. We need to know who are we representing. And the word of God has a standard for us. Don't take my word for it. What does the word of God say about us believers? You know why God didn't take you when you became a Christian? Because he saved you for good works. That's what the Bible teaches. He saved you so you to do good works. You don't get saved by your good works. You get saved by the blood of the Lamb and only by his blood. But you're saved for good works. You're supposed to produce. You're not supposed to be here sitting down, warming up a bench. God saved you so you could produce. Praise God. Sunflowers are beautiful flowers. They start off as a tiny sprouts. The reason sunflowers are called sunflowers is because they follow the sun. The sun rises in the east, the sunflowers will point towards the east. The sun sets to the west, and the sunflowers will set to the west. It will point itself to the west. These flowers throw off a lot of seeds. They are productive because they are always following the sun. They always locate the sun, the S-U-N. And because they are always looking for the sun, they're always growing. When you and I look at the sun, S-O-N, like the sunflowers look for the sun, S-U-N, then we will find the effective of his rays softening our hearts so we can throw off new seeds, new life. It is our response to the word that determines our productivity. Abiding in our relationship with the sun will result in the transformation and growth that many Christians are looking for. God wants to transform you and me. If I see you this year a certain way, next year I see you the same way, I'm going to question whether you are a believer or not. It's not judging, just me judging you. But if you are truly from above, born from above, there needs to be a constant growth. Even when you're going through the fire, even when you're going through the fire, there is growth. There is transformation. And there could be some believers that backslide because things happen. But sooner or later, they will return. And even then, you will see the growth. Because God never takes his hand off us. He never does. The Bible says he never leaves us, nor he ever forsakes us. That's the word of God. We need to understand who we're serving. We need to understand that God means business. As you all know, I was very religious before I came to this church. I got thrown out of my old church because God saved me by his grace. I was able to understand that my good works were not going to get me to heaven. I was able to understand this reality. But when I came here, I had to break down certain mindsets that I still had. You know why I know that those bad habits are not in me right now? Because back in the days when I would fail God, when I would do sinful things that I knew were hurtful to the Lord, man, the devil will eat me up alive. I couldn't sleep. Oh man, I got to do something to get right with God. I got to do something for he could love me again. You know now, even when I mess up, I don't think that way. Because I know he loves me. I know he's my God. I don't live in fear. I don't. Because I know who he is. That's the difference. But I will be kidding and fooling myself if I think because I am saved, I could live the life I just want, live in the selfishness of this world, in the lust of the flesh. You were saved for good works. How will people come to Christ and know the truth of the gospel when you're living like a heathen? How? How? There's no growth there. And as a teacher, as a minister, if I don't tell you truth, the Bible says I will be held to that standard. God will hold me accountable for not teaching you the word of God the way it is. In John chapter 1, I'm going to read this. John chapter 1, verse 5 and on. This is the message we heard from John, from Jesus. And now declare to you, God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we are not practicing the truth, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth, but if we are living in the light, as God is the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sin to him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. We're talking to believers here, brothers. We're talking to believers here. I've got another word I want to share with you real quickly. This is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. I'm going to read from 30 and on. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. You see that? It's a guarantee. If a guarantee is broken here, you can sue. Just remember that. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. It matters to God how you live. It does. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Be light. That's a command. Be light. Be holy. That's a command. Be light. Be holy. Be separate. Be different. Those are commands that the Word of God commands to us believers. Why is it? And I cannot answer this for you, but we need to self-search ourselves. No one can come and tell you anything because we don't know your heart. Only God knows your heart. But you need to ask yourself the hard questions. Lord, why are my prayers not being answered? Why are my prayers not being answered? If I hear you doing it with so-and-so and so-and-so and so, why are my prayers not being answered? There are times that God's not going to answer your prayers the way you want. There will always be an answer, but not necessarily the way we want. But when you see systematically certain things falling apart in your life, that is a spiritual attack. You need to find yourself with the Lord and say, what is going on here, Lord? Show me. Separate yourself with him. Spend time with him and he will show you. But if your prayers are not being answered, there's something wrong. Could it be one of those things I just read? Could anger be inside your heart? Can bitterness be sitting there? Are you showing the love of God to your brothers and sisters? When somebody's in need, are you there for them? You see what I'm saying? We want God to just, yeah, everything has been provided for us. Everything is at hand's reach. I could take this Bible if I want. Doesn't mean I'm going to read it, right? Now, if I read it, I get filled with faith because of what it says. Then I can apply to my life, and then it becomes a reality. But if I have something, for example, I could have a nice luxurious car out there, parked out there. It has all the dins and whistles and everything. But unless I take that menu and read it, I don't know all the details it has in there. And I'm missing out on some benefits there. You know you miss out on benefits when you don't read the Word of God? When you don't do what it says to do? You miss out on so much. And then you're wondering why some people are victorious in their walk and you're like this. And it's because you don't read what God has provided for you. It's all been provided for you and me. You know one of the things that the sunflowers do? When then the sun is no longer around, they kind of droop. That's how we are when we're disconnected from the Lord. That's exactly how we are. God has so much more for us. And he wants us to know that he is the way maker. He is the one that provides everything you need. He creates miracles for your benefit. He shines in the darkness. He really does. But we have choices to make. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. So every morning you have an opportunity to do what he has called you to do. And I know as believers, sometimes we take things out of context. We hear the word do and things like that. And we think, oh, well, I'm not going to do. I'm not going to go on the bondage. When you take it out of context, yeah, it sounds bad. But you think about it. If God has given you a business, it's to run it. The business is not going to run itself, right? Think about that. He gives us the tools. And it's our decision whether we want to use them or not. And one of the things he tells us is to flee from immorality, to run away from it. If you as a believer open your doors to the enemy, guess what? He's going to come in and he's going to wreck it. That's why the Bible says the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. It's talking to us believers. Talking to us believers. My son Isaiah, for months, he was having night terrors. Night terrors, really bad night terrors. For months. And it seemed to get worse. And there came a time that I'm praying. And I got frustrated. I started weeping. And just sat there beside his bed as he's crying, gnashing his teeth. Couldn't even open his eyes. He could hear me, but he couldn't do anything. And I'm sitting in the bed and I'm saying, Lord, what's going on with my son? Where am I lacking? Show me how to rebuke, because this thing is not going away. What's going on? One of the hardest things you can see is when one of your own kids, you can't even help them. Can't even do anything for them. And then suddenly he subsided, he calmed down. But then another night happened. And all I could say is the blood of Jesus has power. When I said that, he looked like he was even demon possessed. He started throwing himself against whatever was attacking him was reacting. And I kept saying, the blood of Jesus has power. And he kept reacting. And then I said, Isaiah. And Isaiah was only 2 years old. I said, Isaiah, 3. Say the blood of Jesus has power. And he said, the blood of Jesus has power. And he kept saying it. He kept saying it. And then finally he calmed down. But then one night, I woke up like around 3 o'clock in the morning. I woke up with my wife speaking in tongues. And it freaked me out. You wake up with somebody speaking in tongues. You see your wife like this with a hard face. And she's speaking in tongues. And it's all dark. I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? She couldn't answer me. She couldn't stop. Then I turn on the light. And then she's sitting on the bed. And she finally could talk. And she says Isaiah was getting attacked again. So I didn't even finish letting her talk. And I just went to the room. But when I go to the room, he's sleeping in peace. I mean, like, what? She said that he was getting spiritually attacked, but he's sleeping in peace. So I start saying, Lord, what's going on? You got to show me, Lord. You got to show. And then after 5 minutes, I get up, go to the room, and I thought she was sleeping, but she was wide awake. I said, what happened? And she said, he was crying. He was having one of those night terrors. I started rebuking. He finally stopped after a while. He tells me, please lie down next to me. I lie next to him. He puts his arm around me. After a few minutes, I waited. I got up, and I was going to leave. But I noticed, I got up, but I could see myself and my son still hugging me the same way. So she was having an out-of-body experience. And she thought she was going crazy. And she said, I'm just going to go to my room. When she goes, she does like this. And my son holds her hand. But she says, wait a second. When she looks, it was a demon. She was holding a demon. The Lord allowed her to have an out-of-body experience for her to see the demonic stronghold that was attacking our son. Okay? And I don't know if you believe this or not, but this is all biblical. Okay? It's biblical. She was able to rebuke that demon. Okay? She chased it around the house. She rebuked it. And then her soul automatically went back to her body. And then she went back to the room. That's when she was speaking in tongues. And that's how everything happened. That's when I finally woke up. It has not happened since. It's been a few months and he has not gotten that attack again. You see, the God we serve is that real. And there are times that, you know what? I don't know why God wanted my wife to be the one to have that experience. But he selected her. For whatever reason. You see, this is the kind of walk we're living. And that's why as Christians, it's important for us to be thinking clearly. To be thinking soberly. That way we can understand what's going on. Because if your friend has a situation like this, God wants you, who is a born-again Christian, washed with the blood of the Lamb, to go and deal with that matter. That way that person could know Christ through you. But if we're just living like the world, how can we? We can't have those kind of experiences. We could ask for all we want. We could say, Lord, we want more of you. We want more. You could say all you want. But the truth is, if you don't take out that time for him, that's really, it's not really in your heart. It really isn't. So I pray today with this small word, because it's a Wednesday night, that you guys may be encouraged. Because if you are going through something today, he is the way maker. He is a miracle worker. Just like the miracles I share with you that happened in my friend's life, in my in-laws, he's able to do those things. And he shines in the darkness. But he wants you to know he wants to shine through you. He wants to shine through you. You and I have an awesome responsibility to be light in the midst of the darkness. And I cannot live your walk for you. I'm responsible for my own walk. But we need to be honest to ourselves. If we're opening doors to the enemy, we need to be honest about that. Because the devil has a foothold if we are opening doors. That's why we need to confess our sins to one another. That's why you need to find somebody of confidence and say, listen, I'm going through this. I've opened this door. And you could pray together. You confess it. Why? Because when you confess it, the enemy cannot use it against you anymore. And that doesn't mean there's no consequences, because there will always be consequences. You want to know something? Consequences is God's mercies and his grace for your life. Because it prevents you from going back towards that. Think about that. Think about that. God's love, and I'm going to say something that you probably didn't think about it, but God's love does have boundaries. Just like the sea has a boundary, God's love has a boundary. And the boundary is there for you. It's there for you, for your own good. It's not a boundary in the sense of his withholding his goodness from you. It's him putting certain things for it could wake you up. For it could wake you up. We need the fear of God in our hearts. If we don't have the fear of God in our hearts, we'll live whatever life we want. And that's the truth. So let's rise up today, brothers and sisters. I pray that you hear the word of God that was spoken today. It was straight from the word, not my opinions. And let's keep our pastors in prayer. You know they're going to Haiti. And that's a hostile place. It's a very hostile place, and they need to be covered in prayer. They need to be covered constantly in prayer, and God will do the things he said he would do. If God called them to that, he's going to back them up, and he's going to protect them. So let us pray, and let us thank the Lord. Father, we thank you because you're good. We thank you because your mercies are new every morning. We thank you because you are the promise keeper. You are the way maker. You are the one that creates. Where you create things from nothing. So I thank you because we belong to you. My God, you say in your word that we are crown creation. My God, that you care for us. You care about our needs. If the birds in the air and the beasts in the field, they have, how much not more your children? You care for us. It matters to you how we feel. It matters to you. But we want what you have for us. We want your will for our lives. We want you to glorify yourself. So that will take for us to surrender to you. Help us yield to you, to surrender our will to you. Because when we surrender to you, you're able to do so much more than we can ever fathom. My God, I want when I see you face to face, that you can say, good and faithful servant. My Lord, because many of us, yes, we're saved. But we are living defeated lives as believers. We're not having victories the way you say we could. And it's because we don't believe your word. So I pray that you may awaken us in this day. And that you may renew us from within. And that renewing can be displayed in the outside. My God, not by words, but by action. Because faith without works is dead. So we thank you and we bless your holy name. Because you're good. We bless you because without you, we will not be here. We bless you, my God, because everything that surrounds us, my God, you made. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Please don't just go home. Fellowship, talk to your brothers and sisters. And I pray that this message may abide in your hearts until Sunday. Bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.